This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Well, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. And we have Fish gone, unfortunately. It is, well, not unfortunately. He's back to work, and everything's rolling real good for him. But, his schedule doesn't allow for him to be here on a regular basis. His input is always great and welcome. So when he can be here, he'll be here. But now we have our newest member of the staff, which will always be a constant, and that's my good friend, Tony Hubert. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you, Jimbo? I am doing well. Ready to... I know what we're going to talk about, I have a feeling. Just getting ready for it.
Well, there's a couple things. I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Yeah.
Before we get
You're
going to
lead
what,
me off with a curveball.
I'm going to lead you off with a curveball.
You got a lot of faith in your stuff.
Are you? Is this it for Josh Hamilton? The latest setback? Is this a thing where the body just can't do it anymore? And what a shame, because what an unbelievable talent that while this has turned into a great finishing story.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk all day long about what could have been if he wasn't derailed by his own inner demons, whatever
you want to call him.
But, he wound up taking that and at least achieving an unbelievable ending story. But have we reached the end? And I only bring it up because he was just such an unbelievable
Probably.
Talent.
Probably we have. And it's different I've noticed two things. Over the course of watching baseball, that careers end in one of two ways. The long, slow slide and the sudden drop off the cliff. Rarely is there anything really in between. And, that's what it is. Some days, all of a sudden the ball doesn't go over the fence and you're a step slow to everything. And it just kind of happens overnight. Other times it's a gradual process. In Josh's case, there's extenuating circumstances. So I don't know. What I do know was that guy was money for a long time. And then there's other parts of his career where you could take it to the bank that he is going to strike out on three pitches.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, guys that, guys that play big fail big.
Sure.
That's life. And, I like your thoughts on, is when you say this is the end, people always look at it that way. I'm going to go old school here for people my age and remember the great Tom Cruise in The Great Cocktail where he says everything ends badly, otherwise it wouldn't end.
No, it'd keep going.
Right. Well, I think the romantic side of baseball, we want our heroes to get a hit.
You want them to go out like Ted Williams and Derek Jeter.
Either way. Or I think we're smart enough with baseball to know that, it's a hard game anyway, so the chances of either hitting a home run or getting a hit in your last at-bat, much less it being an impactful moment, are always tough. I think what we want is it's a culmination and it's a game of consistency and average. So you'd like that last year to be good.
Sure.
Or maybe have some run to it. Ideally, which we don't see anymore, which we felt the pain here in St. Louis with Pujols, you don't see it on the same team. So it's not the guy you saw come up and then stick through a la Stan Musial, Ted Williams, as you brought up so perfectly. It just makes me sad because, you think back to what could have been. Now, life, you can't live your life full of regret. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. But I hate to see that because, man, he was talented. I don't know about you, but do you remember the show he put on at Yankee Stadium in that home run derby? That nothing short of amazing?
No, it's amazing. Even in the confines of a home run derby, it's still amazing. You still have to have your timing down. You still have to have your stroke. I know it's a derby. It is what it is. But to sit back and just launch
and where he was hitting
them,
balls and where he was hitting them. Oh.
And I know the balls. I don't give a shit that the ball's juiced, to be honest. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a show.
Right.
It's a show. And he put a show on for
That's
the
right.
ages. Much like I think I remember McGuire's at Fenway.
Sure.
You know, and I remember Hamilton's at Yankee Stadium. And I remember, I think, an early one in Pittsburgh by someone who kept hitting the upper deck at Three Rivers.
Was that Frank Thomas?
Could have been. Yeah.
Somebody was, yeah.
It could have been because upper deck shots were kind of an unheard of thing. And then all of a sudden, one year, here they come.
Well, was it Miguel Tejada?
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, so it's not that I was a fan of Josh Hamilton. I liked his story. I certainly sympathize and empathize with those kind of demons that a person may have. And you bring it up, you know, what would have been? That's part of the beauty of baseball, man, trying to fill in those gaps. What would have been? What would Ken Griffey's final numbers have been had he not got hurt so much, as you've pointed out before, Jimbo, in the 80s? Or not in the 80s, in the first decade here, you know, in the turn of the century. Especially when he was in Cincinnati. What would have Ruth's numbers been had, let's say, the live ball comes into play in 1918 instead of 1920, when he's already on his way, obviously, to being a good hitter? What would have Ted Williams' numbers been if he didn't miss 5 years for military service?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a fun thing to think about. And when I think of Josh Hamilton, I do think – of a player who could have hit 500 plus home runs.
For sure. I mean,
I know he's not in the club, but in my mind, when I think of a 500 home run hitting type guy, I do think of Josh Hamilton.
Ryan Howard was the guy that
put the
show on in Pittsburgh. And there were other guys too. I remember the balls going to left. There were some good things in there. So here's a question for you. Do we look at – it's hard to look at his career, right? Because you look at it and you're expecting, because he was so good, to see this long career. It really wasn't that long, right?
Not really.
So is he a Hall of Famer? No way, I guess, right?
No, he's not.
Just not. I mean,
he's in that weird limbo land class, kind of where Jim Edmonds is. No. Of he'll be on the ballot, he'll get some votes, and then the votes will decrease, and then in a couple years he'll be off the ballot. He is in, you know, for lack of a better term, he's in that AAA Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame of talent, the talent was there, but the complete body of work, for whatever reasons, weren't laid down to get you over the hump.
I'm going to surprise you here. This is, we like to fly from the cuff on this show. We don't want it to be a show where we hit you with a bunch of sabermetrics and reading somebody else's material on the show. So we basically come in here and just let it fly from the heart, basically.
All right, let it fly.
Okay. Well, but then when we're talking about something, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you. I'm shocked by this.
Hit me.
Only 9 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't seem right to me. Doesn't that seem odd to you? Think about that. Doesn't it feel like Yankee Stadium was 15 years ago?
It does.
That just shocks me to no end.
But it wasn't.
Now, some of the seasons were phenomenal. Obviously, 2010. Listen to these stats from 2010. 32 homers, 100 RBIs, .359, .411 on base, and a .633 slugging percentage.
.633.
That was the year he was the MVP.
What's the OBS?
1.04.
There you go.
Over one is...
Yeah, over one.
Unbelievable. He had some unbelievable seasons. But you know what? You can see here, he had another great season in 2012. 43 homers, 128 RBIs. I mean, that's just look, that's a season where if you look at this, he played a lot. You know, there's just – of the seven seasons, 1, 2, 3, 4 with really significant game times missed. It's just a body.
That's right. So give me his final slash line.
If this was to be it for him.
If this was to be it, yeah.
200 home runs, 700 RBIs.
Yeah.
.290 batting average, .349 mm-hmm. OBP, mm-hmm. .516 slug, .865 OPS. Here's
what I extrapolate that to a full-time, let's call it a 15-year career.
Well,
if he gets to enjoy health.
Here's what I'll tell you is amazing.
And all of a sudden, you're in the 500 numbers. You're in the over 1,500 RBI numbers.
Well, let me give you a couple interesting things about him. So I just mentioned to you, it's only seven seasons, if this is it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So seven seasons, to which one season he played, which was the last one when he was obviously hurt. I mean, only 50 games.
Yeah.
The season before that, only 89.
Yeah.
His first season, when he kind of come out of not nowhere, because everybody knew who he was, but it was like, what's really going to happen here?
Yeah.
That was only 90 games.
Right.
Then he had another season with some injuries where it was 89. So you have one season that's not even a half a season. You got two others that are right at a half, and another one just barely over.
Right.
Of the seven.
Yeah.
Now, you sit there and go, oh, Jim, 200 home runs. Well, it's really 200 home runs in what equates to about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. You know what? I take that back. It was 9 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it come out of the back here. So, no, it equates to 7 seasons because of the games played. So that's where I was going at. 700 RBIs.
Right. There's the one that jumps out at me.
Yes, 700 RBIs.
Because that, you know, now granted, played with Texas Rangers in that time. And
sure.
They have runners on base all
sure.
the time. They score
sure.
a lot of runs. Pretty hitter-friendly ballpark, especially for a lefty.
Sure.
And but you got to deliver, and he did. And I know sabermetricians may not like the RBI as a stat. I love two stats myself. I love, did you drive a run in, and did you score a run yourself?
You got to score runs to win.
That's what I care
about.
You
got to score runs to win.
Tell me, did you make someone cross the plate, and did you yourself cross the plate? Because that's what wins ball games. My stat has always been winning ball games. Everything else is just a prelude or a tool to get you to that.
Well, I guarantee you, in his lifetime, with all the things that he said, that Yogi Berra at some time or another had to have said, if you score more runs than the other team, you're going to win.
Well, I'm sure he said something like that.
So, hey, the last thing I'll finish with, did you ever get the chance to see him in person, Josh Hamilton, play?
Only once.
Were you?
And
were
where
you?
Was I? Where was I? I was in Anaheim, strangely, because that's where he'd wind up, and they were playing a guy named Matt Owens, you know his brother Tim.
Yep.
Matt Owens and I were on a trip out in California for work, and we had a day off, so we went down to Anaheim and bought some bleacher seats, and the Rangers were in town, and that's that. I forget the year. I want to say around 2009. So, like Hamilton, Vlad Guerrero, there were a lot of talent on the field that night.
Sure. I went to
but I don't remember him doing anything in
well,
the game.
Well, when my oldest son was 12, we took him on the Cooperstown trip for baseball where the kids play. They stay in the barracks and the
yeah.
whole bit. On the way there, the team, we all followed one another. We drove, and we stopped in Cleveland
yeah.
to watch a Cleveland Indian.
Fun park
and,
there, too.
Yeah, and we were out in the outfield. We're sitting right behind the home run fence, the whole team. And Josh, they were playing Texas. So
mm-hmm.
Josh Hamilton was there. And I remember watching him walk out there, the start of the game. He comes out, and the first thing I thought to myself was, I cannot believe how big he is.
Oh, he's a big boy. Yeah.
It's like he literally could play linebacker or tight end
mm-hmm.
in the NFL. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he was that big.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just wonder guys that are that big, that play outfield, that do all that running, you know, and then they play the game hard and they do all this stuff. I mean, eventually, you know, and then you have to take into account his early life and what
yeah,
he
sure you,
you know he would tell you he probably abused his body, and that's just
I don't
kinda,
think there's any question,
you know, so it's a sad thing.
I like that he's always honest
sure
about it
yep,
you
yep,
know
yep.
which is a sign of I think it's a sign of a lot of good character traits, you know, honest with yourself, honest about yourself, and wanting to get your message out to other people.
Yeah,
that hey, look, come on, try to learn from my mistake here.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, I'm going to get to what you probably knew I was going to get to. I'm leading this god darn parade, and I'm happy to lead it, but god darn it. They did it. We've eliminated the intentional walk.
I know.
And it infuriates me and whatever, but the truth of the matter is it makes me even madder because social media, this is what social media is great for. You look at all the – now listen, it's once every blue moon, but you look at some of the cool things that have happened as a result of – messed up intentional walks. I mentioned something to our good friend Jono the other day, who's a Reds fan. I said, Do you really want them to not have to intentionally walk somebody if Billy Hamilton's on second base?
No doubt.
If you're out there intentionally walking somebody and Billy Hamilton's on third base, you can't just take it easy and throw it, lob it. They're taking away another part of the game. And I get it that 99% of the time it is literally stand up, hold your hand out, and throw four balls. But, you know, you've seen the cool video of Miguel Cabrera smacking the ball and all this. And
it happens.
And then, you know, and I'm sorry, and I am very sorry, but one of the greatest moments in cinematic history was Kelly Leak getting the signal from Walter Matthau in the dugout with the hands reaching out to reach out and stroke the ball into right center.
Yeah.
And God darn it, I still think he was safe.
Oh, he was. He was.
But for what they needed, they called him out. But whatever. But I don't know. It's infuriating. You know, and they've done it. And there's nothing we can do about it. But there is one thing I want to say, and I thought about this the other day. Because I was talking to some friends that kind of were on the same page with me. And I understand it's not everybody. But it's like, I love to watch baseball. I love to go to baseball games. Why are they trying to make it shorter?
Look, you've heard me say this already. It's not about length. It's about pace, right? This is the Bob Ramsey axiom, you know, baseball, basketball broadcaster from St. Louis area. He's always said this. It's about pace, not about length. I have no problem being at a ballpark for 3 hours. I have no problem being in front of my television for 3 hours as long as I'm enjoying what I'm watching, okay? You can be bored to death in a two-hour game. Trust me.
For sure.
Okay, and you can be on the edge of your seat in a four-hour game. I think they are overestimating the impact of the millennials and the sort of the social media crowd who always have to have something. Look, social media, it's one of the best things that has happened to the sport. I love it when my friends are at the ballpark posting pictures or sending videos. However it is, whether it's Snapchat or Facebook.
Because we feel like we're there.
Or if they FaceTime you from the park, if they can get a signal. All that stuff is wonderful. And, you know, I love it when my cousin Mike is at a Dodger game in Los Angeles and we are, like, coming home from a Cardinal game.
Yeah.
And we're talking in the car or texting back. And those are the things they need to be concerned about. You know, get people connected to the game. Quit worrying about the pace. Let me say this about the intentional walk. Just because it's the right thing to do at a little league level does not mean it's the correct thing to do at a professional level. The game of baseball is about the art of execution. You have to execute your pitches, you have to execute your defense, and you have to execute with your bat when you step into that batter's box. To take an element, any element of execution, proper execution away from the game is not a good thing.
I
don't want to quite go to the, oh, it's a slippery slope, but how about I got a runner on first and my pitcher coming up. Can I signal in a couple years, hey,
I want to bunt him over.
I want to bunt him over. So I'll take the out. You put my runner at second.
Let's quit wasting all this time with the foul loss and all this. How about if I just give you the out and let him go to second? That'll be an option.
Right. Or how about this? We have a 5-run lead, okay? It's the eighth inning.
And we want to save some pitching. Can we just give up our –
We're going to give up our, you know
– our at-bats. We got guys hurt. They're sore.
When they get their three outs
– we're just going to take it. Yeah.
We're not even going to bother and just let them – and we'll pitch to them in three more.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Where does it end? That's kind of
where
the
thing. Where does it end then? Because I know somebody's going to go, well, you know – okay, in a 10-run game, does the home team really need to bat in the bottom of the eighth? They're already up by 10.
Well, no.
Or you can flip the script.
That's the other thing, too. Are we going to have a run rule here before long so that we don't have to waste pitching on games that are blowouts? Again, how many times does a team come back from a 10-run deficit? I think that's actually more realistic than the other. I'm going to finish with this because I know we're short on time today, and this is what I want to tell you. It's one thing to talk about it from the integrity of the game, but I'm going to ask you something as a consumer.
Yeah.
I know they're doing this for the consumer, really, at the end of the day.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. When I go to a baseball game, okay, and I understand that we you know, for those of you that don't know, we're in the St. Louis area, so we have the opportunity, you know, I call it a privilege to attend games in a great baseball city, in a great baseball stadium from a great baseball franchise. They do a lot of things right here for sure. They're not perfect. I know the whole best fan in baseball, which you know, Tony, irritates me to no end.
I know it does.
Okay.
But they do a lot of things right here, which sure. then allows it to be a great atmosphere.
Yes.
So I understand that in parks where there's only 25,000 people, they may not have this issue. But here's an issue for us. So you're going to shorten the game so that are you going to cut the rate of the ticket? Because now the game's going to be shorter. And you got to remember, when I want to go get a beer or a hot dog, I'm out of my seat for a good 15 minutes.
Well, do you remember me telling you this? This is a lesson I learned 30-plus years ago. Baseball does not want the baseball fans at the ballpark. Okay? Let me repeat that. Baseball does not want the true diehard baseball fans at the ballpark. They want them at home. They want them at home watching. What they want at the ballpark is essentially the Disney crowd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? That's the crowd that's going to come once or twice a year. And
spend
it's
a bunch
it's
of money.
It's an event.
That's right.
It's an event for them. And they are going to come in. They're going to watch a little bit of the game. But they're going to treat the park like an amusement park.
Right.
I'll never forget this. In 2006, in the bottom of the ninth inning, as a couple coworkers and I were running into position as the World Series is coming to an end. Okay? Three outs away from a world championship. The line at Build-A-Bear at Busch Stadium, 100 deep.
I believe it. I believe it.
That is a moment when the concourse should be empty, when all the vendors, when all the security people should be out looking and watching, and there should not be a soul.
Yes.
There should not be a soul.
Like the old movie, Shut Down for State. You know, we're following
yes.
it. Yes. Shut down. Closed for
and
the big game.
And I'm like, there are people who are going to watch the end of this World Series on a television monitor.
Getting a Build-A-Bear.
Trying to buy the Build-A-Fred Bird.
Well, it's funny. I had this conversation with somebody not too long ago. They were, you know, obviously we always get, as baseball fans, we get our feelings of we are entitled because we buy the $9 beers and the $10 nachos, which I'm a member of that committee, by the way. But I always tell them this. I'm like, yes, that's true. And we do. And they do get our money and they do get a large part of time. But it's funny you say that because what I picture is the family of four or five. They come to the game. They go. They buy jerseys, pennants.
Yeah.
They got to get the popcorn. They got to get the cotton candy. They got to get the hot dogs. Then okay, let's eat. Now it's time to really eat, not just snack.
Right.
By time it's all said and done, you know, I remember being younger and seeing people say, "Hey, look, and I can't afford $500-$600 to go to a baseball game with my family." And I used to sit there and go, "What in the hell are you buying?" But let me tell you something. It doesn't take long to add it up, and they are dead on with that number.
No, here's you know, I know clubs need season ticket holders. But if you are a season ticket holder that isn't sharing out your season tickets or has a pool, when we did 27 game packs, my wife stuffed the purse with what you could bring in. We went, we sat, went to the bathroom, watched the game, left.
Yeah.
Well, and there's no added value to us. See?
Right.
Once they find out, oh, wait, you're going to come 27 times and the only thing we're really going to get off you is the price of the ticket, which you already bought at a discount because you bought a season ticket. Yeah, see, you need that. And they've done a great job of getting the marginal fan into the park, and that's who they're concerned about because that's where the revenue lies.
Right.
If I would go to 80 games a year, I really would, but I ain't going to drop $30 a day on extras at a ballpark. I'm not going to do it. Therefore, yeah. I ain't that valuable to them.
Well, they've done that. You know, I don't know what's next, but I do know this. The next time we convene,
oh yeah,
spring training will be in full tilt and we'll have games going on.
I have so much to talk about spring training. I'm just going to tease you with things such as, why isn't he swinging the bat? Things I hear fans say. Why isn't he swinging the bat? Why is that pitcher getting rocked? Oh my God, I can't believe they've lost three games in a row. Folks,
spring training. Folks.
Spring training. It's really a different ball game. And honestly, I love the spring training game. I do. There's so much you can learn.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. If you've never been, it's a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, if you want to go every year, that's fine. But I'm saying if you've never done it and you don't think you ever will, do it one time.
Oh, please,
especially
do
if
it
you
one
have
time.
Kids. Especially
please.
And especially if you have young boys that want to be baseball players,
I will tell you
let
stories.
Them see how what yes. really goes on.
I will tell you stories of my son, my daughter, their friends, and the interactions with the players they have had at spring training, which look, Jim, there's one word, magical. It really is magical. But you got to get to one to do it, and you got to take in the atmosphere. I think I'm up to 17 spring trainings in my life, and I just love it. And it's my wife and I's favorite time of year.
Well,
next week. Get ready.
I'm with you on that 100%. I'm going to see if our good friend Benji Molina has the time to share with us next week. He's been doing some work for MLB Network.
Well, if he does, because there's a million questions about what actually goes on during spring training that fans may not be none the aware of.
Well, I'd love to do that. Let's remind everybody where they can find us. BleacherBumsPodcast.com is our website. That's where you'll find the podcast. And, of course, you can subscribe to the show. Of course, at Bums Podcast is our Twitter handle. And, of course, Bleacher Bums Podcast on Facebook. We ask you guys, stay in contact with the show. Let us know what you want to hear. We'll go out, seek it out, talk about it. Bring you guys into the conversation if you'd like. Special thanks to our friends at lineupmedia.fm for supporting the show. Make sure you check them out. They have great content. Radio's over, my friends. We're going to listen to stuff when we want to listen to it. LineupMedia.fm has the show for you. For Jim, for Tony, for our producer Brian, we are Bleacher Bums. We'll see you next week.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.